Investor Schooling is an education company located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Investor Schooling, the principals or their employees are not licensed by any regulatory institution. Phil Falcone and Larry Steinhaus are not registered reps of any investment firm, nor do they sell any securities. Their advice is based on their experiences and the experiences of their students. They are not attorneys or accountants, and before using any of their advice, they suggest you check with your legal or tax professionals. To find out more, go to www.investorschooling.com.
This show is previously recorded.
Now, let's welcome Larry Steinhaus and Phil Falcone, your hosts for Investor Schooling Live.
Good afternoon and welcome to Investor Schooling Live, coming to you from Investor Schooling headquarters. I'm Phil Falcone here with my business partner, Larry Steinhaus. We are the founders of Investor Schooling. Get ready to learn real estate investing and stock option trading. Call us anytime during the show with your questions at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. That's right, we're a live program, so you can call us anytime during the show, and we'll take your calls. Don't worry about what we're talking about, because we love to take your calls. Investor Schooling is located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, serving the Philadelphia area in a real brick-and-mortar building. We are local guys, accessible to our students a minimum of 2 nights per week. Learn this business, the business of real estate investing and stock option trading, from people who live it every day. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, fraud issues in vacation rentals. Phil's going to admit that he's made a few mistakes, why we put properties in trust, transfer taxes, and when you put your home in a trust, how that affects it, and a whole bunch of other topics about real estate acquisition, getting HELOCs, taking a profit. And we're even going to finish the show with the stock option Sultan, who's going to come out and give us some picks of the week. What's happening, Larry?
So, Phil, do you know what day it is?
It's Saturday.
Do you know what date it is?
It's the 27th.
Do you know what day that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the date that you were born.
Oh, it's my birthday!
Happy birthday.
Come on, thanks. I'm just so excited that it's my birthday.
Why?
I don't know, because now I'm 58.
I'm not really that excited about it, your birthday.
I didn't know it was his birthday.
Well, I figured that you wouldn't be excited about my birthday. You know, your birthday was a couple of weeks ago.
The 16th is my birthday.
Yeah, but my birthday showed up on a day we're doing a radio show.
Yeah, so I got robbed is what you're saying.
Yeah, you did. You got robbed. But this is only, it's going to happen only one time in every 4 years that our birthday is going to show up on a Saturday. So, you know, so this is great. So 4 years from now, or is it 5 years from now, I guess, I'll have my birthday on a Saturday again. Is that exciting?
This is a really fascinating topic.
I knew you'd find this fascinating. But one of the things that I thought was interesting about that, and I posted this today, was the fact that we need to know how to make as much money as we can before we can't make it anymore.
Good point.
And that's why people come to Investor Schooling and learn, right?
If life were like a football game, you're in the fourth quarter.
Late first quarter.
Man.
Yeah, actually, you're coming up on a 2-minute warning.
That was cold. Oh, man. By the way, if you're listening, you can call 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137, and we'll talk about real estate or stock options or anything that has to do with money, saving taxes. All right, so what else, Phil? What are we gonna, what's the great topic of the day?
Yo, I called you, or I texted you yesterday to see if we were going to go out to dinner. You didn't answer me, so I went out with Randy. You know Randy?
Randy, the guy
who... The guy who just shows up at the dinner table and sits right down and doesn't say a word.
So we need to tell this story, because that's really, really funny.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell the story.
So one day, so Phil and I, we go out every Friday night. Phil and I, we go out with our wives, and we sit around. We have a great time. We talk about business. I wanted to make sure I said that, because when we write these off, I want to make sure that the IRS knows that we talked about business. But anyway, so we talk about business, and this guy, Randy, that Phil knows, just says hi, sits down, orders a drink, and orders his food, and then at the end, I actually said, you know, I said I was going to pay for it, and he got all mad at me. I didn't remember the whole story about him getting mad at me, but the fact that he just sat down without even asking was just hysterical. So about 2 weeks later, Phil and I and our wives are out somewhere else, and all of a sudden Randy comes in again. It's a different place. He comes in again. He just sits down with us and starts ordering a drink again.
Well, the first time was by accident. Yeah. Like, he just does that, you know. So him and I are friends. We've worked out at the same gym for like 20 years, so we know each other pretty well. And he had just sat down at the table at Tony's place. But the second time, it was a setup because
it was really funny too. Second time,
Larry was like, "What the hell?" I can't say what Larry actually said, but
no, I said, "Do you ever ask permission to sit down?" But so you went out to Randy, and what did you guys talk about?
Well, I bumped into him at the gym on Friday night. I was lifting weights because Terry was hanging out at home watching a couple of her grandkids, having them sleep over. So Randy said he was going out for a beer. I said, cool, I'll go out with you. So I went home, I got changed, and then I went to Crafty's and hung out with him. And I had a good time, and I even got hit on by a sexy young girl.
Really?
I did.
Did she know you were a radio star? Is that why she hit on you?
No, she just came over and asked me if I was single, and, you know, that was about it.
And so was it more money if you were married?
I don't think she was that kind of girl. I just think she's looking for love, you know?
I got it. That's what I meant. Was it more money if you were
I would have liked to have keep it provided her with some love, but I can't do that.
Welcome to the love show.
Hey, it was just nice to be hit on. That's all I'm saying.
I got it, yeah.
You know, I haven't been hit on in a couple of years, so it was nice.
I'll hit on you, Phil.
Oh, yeah, Pedro said he'll hit on you.
Well, Pedro has told me that I'm his favorite guy at Investor School.
Well, Pedro's got hair that's long enough that he could be a girl.
So, I got a question for you, Larry.
Sure.
Have you ever heard anyone mispronounce the word realtor?
So, if you're a fan of the show, Phil has this thing that really upsets him. There's two things. If you want to upset Phil, there are two things you can talk about. One is say the word realtor instead of realtor. And the other one is call it a fourplex instead of a quadruplex.
Well, those are important distinctions.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. So I used to be in this group that had a realtor. And the realtor would stand up and say, I've been a realtor for 35 years. And I just thought to myself, how could you work in a career for 35 years and still not know how to pronounce it? I never said this to her because it was a networking group and I didn't want to lose my networking ability with this woman. But what I would have liked to have said to her is, if you think you're a realtor, you should go see a docator and see if he can help you with your vocabulary issues. Anyway,
Let's get to some real estate facts.
A lot of people mispronounce the word realtor.
I know, it's hysterical.
Yeah, including people Realtors. Who have been wholesalers for much of their lives.
Well, wholesalers, I know what you're talking about. That's
yeah, funny. Yeah. But we've even put the word up on the big screen at Investor Schooling to show him that there's no I in the word.
Right, or no A.
Yeah, and he just still can't do it.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
What were you going to say? You had something to say?
Let's talk about something here. Let's make the audience who's taking their time out of the day to listen to us learn something new. And by the way, if you want to call in, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. You're listening to Larry Steinhaus and Phil Falcone, and we are the owners of Investor Schooling, and we teach people how to make money. And you can go to investorschooling.com to take a complimentary class.
Why don't you invite them to our next class?
Yeah, let's do it.
When is our next class?
Thursday.
This Thursday?
This Thursday.
At 7 p.m.?
At 7 p.m.
Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a class, a free class, this Thursday night at 7 p.m. You have been invited.
Officially.
Yes. Okay.
And yes, it's free.
All right, let's actually talk about real estate.
All right,
so fraud issues in vacation rental real estate. I love vacation rentals. Mostly because I started in this business investing in row homes in Philadelphia. And just one of the biggest problems with row homes in Philadelphia is the government of Philadelphia and the fact that there's a lot of people who will not pay you in Philadelphia. And I've had that problem numerous times. They pay for a couple of years, and then they just stop, and you have to go through the eviction process, and it's not an easy thing, and it's a pain in the butt. But vacation rentals, I've always loved them because you get paid up front, 100% of the money up front. So that is way better than chasing somebody for money, right? And in Florida right now, I have something like 22 vacation rentals in Florida that I rent out, and it's a great business. And it depends on, you know, where you do it. If you do it in New Jersey, you might only have 10 weeks. If you do it in Florida, you might have 12 months. So it's a great business. One of the things that I like about it is definitely getting paid up front. I really, really like that part.
You make a lot of money doing vacation rentals, too. You have, I mean, you take the average house that, let's say, I don't know, let's just throw a number up there, you pay $250,000 for, and typically you might make, I don't know, maybe $300-$400 a month, but you're making, you know, if you rented it 12 months out of the year, but you're making, what, you got to be making a couple of thousand a month now, right?
It's a strong business, okay? So in Florida, the way it works is, like in New Jersey, sure, you got about 10 weeks. Maybe you can get a couple more weeks, but those weeks are going to be discounted because they're either in September already or you're doing it maybe in like late May or something, right? So really, you're dealing with 10 weeks, but you can get paid well. I mean, they make like $6,000 a week for a vacation rental down the shore. Right now, it's about to go on rate for a decent house. So, but in the vacation rental business in Florida, I break it down into three trimesters. So I'd say from January to April, it's a very strong market. Everybody wants to go down there in the wintertime and get out of the cold, even if it's for a couple of weeks. We don't usually get people renting for months at a time. We get a lot of weeklies or people who stay for 2 weeks, that kind of thing. And then it's a very strong market in the first trimester. The second trimester goes from like May to August, and that is also a very strong period. It's not as good as the first trimester, but it's almost as good. And in the second trimester, what we get, believe it or not, is Floridians. So people who live in Tampa, people who live in Miami, Florida has so many beautiful beaches and so many beautiful towns that you can visit. A lot of the Floridians, the kids are home from school, it's hot. They pack up their kids and they do the same thing we do in Philadelphia. We go to the shore in the summertime. They want to go to the beach. They don't call it the shore. They call it the beach, but they just come out. So it's weird. Like people live in Miami and they got a beach right near their house, but they'll come to the other side of the state just to see a different beach and go to different restaurants and enjoy different sights. So it's Florida is a very, very beautiful state. There's no direction you can go in that you will not find beauty. Hence the reason I want to move there soon.
Terry, he wants to move there. Did you hear him?
Terry knows. Terry knows. Terry's reminded quite often about the fact of why are we not living in Florida. The third trimester is September to December. Now, that's the worst trimester as far as rental income comes in. However, maybe I'm lucky, maybe I'm just good, I'm not sure why, but I've had construction crews. There's a lot of construction going on in Florida. They're always building things because there's 1,000 people a day moving there. Houses are being built everywhere, and there's a lot of construction crews that go down there to get these contracts, and they don't want to go stay in a hotel because they got to get a hotel room for every guy, right? So what they often do is they rent vacation rentals, because they get the whole house, and they can put 5-6 guys in a house. And a lot of vacation rentals are set up with bunk beds and extra bedding to make sure that you can get a lot of people in there, right? You can get a whole family in there, sometimes two families you can get into a vacation rental. So it's just perfect for construction crews. And these guys come down, they rent everything. I mean, usually they can be rough on the house. You go back in the house and one time I went into a house and there was a coffee table completely covered with Corona bottles from one end of the coffee table to the other. There must have been like 80 bottles on the coffee table. I mean, things like that happen. But, you know, we got cleaners to clean it up and they just take care of the problem. So we're going to talk about fraud issues with vacation rentals. One time I had a guy rent one of my houses. So what he did was he went on to my VRBO site where I had a house up for rent, and he downloaded all the pictures, or he made screenshots of all the pictures, and then he created his own site somewhere. I guess he did it on Facebook or something and made it look like he had a vacation rental. Used my address and everything. And actually, I don't know that he used my address. And he told this woman who was interested in renting the vacation rental to meet him at the bank and pay him cash. And then she goes to the house and finds out somebody else is already living in
it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So not much I could do about it. I simply told her that, you know, we don't meet people at the bank to collect cash from
them.
Yeah,
exactly.
They pay on the website. So that was one of the fraud issues that I've had. I've had some other problems where people break things, or they allowed their dog to use my couch as a litter box. you know,
dogs don't use litter boxes.
Okay, I'm just explaining
I knew what you meant,
the nicest way I could of what the dog did to my couch. Okay? People do some weird things. One time, somebody picked up my couch and took it outside and put it underneath the carport. I guess they wanted to sit outside.
Yeah, sure.
So they just picked up a couch and moved it outside.
They didn't move it back?
No, they didn't move it back. Yeah. They left it there.
So what do you charge somebody for that if they don't move it back?
VRBO, Airbnb, TripAdvisor, those sites don't always give you... You don't have the power, okay? So
really?
What happens is if you book a vacation rental, you use your credit card, and that credit card's charged by VRBO, Airbnb. They do the charging, and then they send the money to you after the vacation is over. Okay, so you're only waiting like it depends. It depends on the circumstances. Sometimes they send it to you right away. VRBO does. Airbnb's got their own rules. Everybody's got their own rules. But you don't have the ability to go in and charge their credit card for $1,800 if their dog uses your couch as a litter box.
So do you have to go through VRBO and say and file a case or something?
Yeah, you have to file like a claim with them, and you have to show some evidence and that kind of stuff. And most of the time, we didn't even bother.
Okay, yeah, I'm just curious. Sure.
Okay, I one time had a guy who stole a desk right out of one of my best houses.
Wow.
He must have. So the only thing we can assume is he most likely lived somewhere in the middle of the United States. He drove down to Florida with his pickup truck, and he decided he liked our desk a lot, so he took it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean.
So actually, Evie online is asking, can you get an insurance policy to cover that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you probably could. We never really bothered. We kind of figured you like sometimes VRBO has an insurance policy that you can buy. But we were thinking about self-insuring, just doing that ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, a desk, what, would it cost you $200?
It was a pretty nice desk.
Okay, even if it was $300-$400, that would be the insurance for the year. So, yeah, so I get it. You know, as long as people are normal, but there's not that many normal people out there.
For the most part, we had very little issues. I mean, keep in mind, I've been doing this since 2012. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it for almost 10 years now, and I mean, I can only mention a few things. I mean, one time there was somebody filmed a porn movie in one of my houses.
you had somebody famous rent your place, didn't you?
Who's that?
One of the shows, Breaking Amish, I thought, right?
Breaking Amish rented the first house that we ever bought down there, and they used it, and they filmed the whole show out of it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you get any, like, you know, any kudos or anything?
Not really.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No.
All right. But that's kind of neat.
In fact, you know, we were so new in the business when that happened. It was the very first house we ever bought. So what we did was, you know, when someone called, we were just thrilled to have the bookings.
Right, sure.
Right? But in hindsight, we probably could have charged them a lot more money.
Okay, good.
Right? We probably could have charged them $500 a day or something. But you know, it just was happy to take the booking.
So there's other fraud that's similar to what you were saying. There's a lot of fraud. It just happens a lot in cities where, you know, somebody has a house that's empty and someone else advertises it, breaks into the house, changes the lock, even puts their own lockbox on it, makes it look legit, and then they, you know, they show it for rent and they let somebody have it. They ask for cash, you know, maybe the first month, last month in security, which could be $5,000-$6,000. They ask that person for cash or even if money orders, it's fine because it'll still work. And then they give the guy the key to the lock that they changed, let the guy in. And then all of a sudden, the landlord goes by and says, hey, what are you doing living in my house? He goes, I rented this house. And said, no, you didn't. I own this house, and you can't get them out.
Well, there's one easy way to fix that problem. If you're, whenever somebody, true landlords have to have a landlord license in the city of Philadelphia for each and every property. So all you have to do is ask to see the landlord license and ask to see their driver's license and make sure the names match, and that's it.
Yeah, but most people most people renting a place have no idea.
Yeah, they have no idea that you need a landlord license. Right. That's true, that they don't.
Yeah, and you got to be really careful because things like this happen. But, it's one of those things where it's you're a real estate investor. You have to understand that every once in a while something bad's going to happen. You know, that's a tough one for you. You were going to talk about one of your mistakes today. I know you tried to get me to talk about one of my mistakes last week, and I don't know. I don't look at anything I do as mistakes. I look at them all as learning experiences.
Okay. Well, you want me to call it Larry's Learning?
You can do that.
Learning method?
You can do that too, but okay. But what are we talking about? You want to talk about one. Obviously, you have one on your mind. What is the one you want to talk about?
I've made a couple of doozies in my life. You know, one of them was I was going through a stretch of about a year and a half where I was just killing it. I was hitting a home run on top of another one, on top of another one. Everything I touched was making money. And the chunky money was rolling in. I was having one of the best years of my life. And I bit off more than I could chew on one of the deals. And the deal, basically what happened was we had a partner in Siesta who found this property and brought it to us, and we were just killing it so bad. I was just like, I didn't have a care in the world, and we went right into this deal, and we started out putting up like 50 grand to get the project started, and it was a house that was going to need a couple hundred thousand, and the initial 50 was misappropriated immediately.
Ouch.
Right. And I had a lender on it, a private lender, and there was no way we could give this partner any more money. And so essentially what ultimately ended up happening was we asked the lender to basically take back the house.
Yeah, right, sure.
Right,
yeah.
Foreclose on us, and just that took care of like 60% of the money that we owed them, and then we had to sell some properties to come up with the rest.
Yeah, that's rough. So I do remember that story.
Yeah, it was a pretty big mistake, yeah. And, you know, you have to be careful who you partner with, that's for sure. And so what did I do wrong? Really, I got cocky, and I felt like I was indestructible, and maybe that's the business world's way of bringing you back to reality. Gives you a screw up every once in a while to make you remember that you're not invulnerable, right? Anything can happen.
True, but the thing is, you learn from it and you move on. I mean, you know, I tell my story all the time. I lost everything in 2008,
right.
Went bankrupt, and rebuilt everything way past where I was then. And I owned millions of dollars worth of properties in 2008, and I own millions of dollars worth of properties again. And now everything's structured so differently that nothing can happen to me. And that's one of the things that we teach at Investor Schooling too. We teach people how not only to build back, I hate to use the word better.
Build back better, yeah, right. So, you know, really what happened to you is very similar to what happened to me, just different, okay? You were brought down by the crash of 2008. I was brought down by my own arrogance.
So I'm going to tell you that I don't believe I was brought down by the crash of 2008.
Okay.
I believe I was brought down by my arrogance as well because I made mistakes in 2006 and 7. I was greedy. And I mean, when I greedy to myself, not greedy to other people, but I was greedy, and I'm buying properties that I should never have bought. I was buying properties that didn't cash flow. I thought it was good, the property's going to go up all the time. I mean, I was doing that for 30 years before I made those mistakes. Maybe even 25 years before I made those mistakes, and I just changed my business plan to a really dumb business plan that I call the stupid and greedy business plan, instead of the safe business plan. Now the business plan I have now is so safe that I have so much equity in my properties that if we would have a crash like 2008, I don't even think I'd notice it.
Well, at one point, I had 8 duplexes. 7 of them were on the same street, right? So I literally owned a whole street practically,
yeah, right.
Except for like just 3 houses. And essentially, we sold them all to square up our debts. So that was millions of dollars because, I mean, we sold them all in 2018, because we had to square up the dates. In 2017, I think it was 2018 and 2019, or it was 2017 and 2018, we had to sell literally, we only have two duplexes now. I'm sorry, we have one duplex now. Two units. That's
right. All, but you still have 20-something vacation rentals in Florida.
Yeah, but I'm counting the tiny homes vacation rentals.
Sure.
Okay, so there's like 17 there, mm-hmm. and then there's a handful of other houses. But the seven duplexes that I had to sell, they were worth almost $275,000 to $325,000 each.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot of real estate. If I still would have that real estate, I would probably have at least an extra $1.5 million.
Easy, right? Yeah, easy.
Easy.
Sure.
So, you know, that's life. You can either, you know, you can't cry about it. What are you going to do? You just start buying.
Well, and here's the thing about what, you know, what we do and what we teach. You know, we're not only, you know, we're not only recovering from problems. We're also teaching people how to recover from problems and also setting ourselves up that, you know, something like that, yeah, it stinks, but it didn't affect your life financially. You were able to do everything, same thing you did before. You were able to go on vacation. You were able to make your bills in your house. You know, it just looked ugly, that's all. But it wasn't a bad thing. You know, it wasn't a bad thing that made your life bad.
All
anyway.
Right, let's get off this topic because I'm going to start crying.
I know, I can tell.
If we keep talking about it.
Well, real quick, let me give the phone number. 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. And Jason says, apparently Jason doesn't like my politics, but that's okay. He's online. He's saying that he would never join our school because of my politics, which is pretty funny. But if you want to call Jason, we'd love to hear from you. You can tell us why. 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. And thank you all for wishing me happy birthday. I see them all up on Facebook right now. And why don't we take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Phil Falcone from InvestorSchooling.com. I'm inviting you to a complimentary class this Thursday night at 7 p.m. I will teach you how to buy ugly houses and make them beautiful. As a bonus, we will also teach you stock option investing. 7 p.m. this Thursday night, 215-876-3002, InvestorSchooling.com.
Hey everybody, it's Larry Sinus from InvestorSchooling.com. You heard my partner Phil Falcone tell you why you should be there this Thursday night to learn about real estate investing and learn about stock options trading. We're telling you right now, you will make more money than you've ever made in your entire life if you learn these two skills. This Thursday night at 7 o'clock, go to InvestorSchooling.com. Pull over right now, take out your phone and go to InvestorSchooling.com. RSVP right now, InvestorSchooling.com. See you Thursday.
Hi, I'm Phil Falcone from Executech Suites. We're an executive suite center in Huntington Valley on Buck Road, 67 Buck Road, Huntington Valley. I'm sure you've driven past it. We're right in between Street Road and County Line Road. We have 47 offices in the prestigious address of Huntington Valley. I have offices starting at $595 a month. You're probably wondering, Phil, what do I get for $5.95 a month? Let me tell you. You get an office big enough for one person. You get the furniture in that office. You get the telephone on the desk. You get the telephone numbers. You get the fax numbers. You get two full-time receptionists to answer the phone in the name of your company and patch the calls to you. So if your company's ABC Painting Company, hey, ABC Painting Company, how can I help you? Would you like to talk to Bob? Let me get him on the phone. You could be home sleeping on your couch and I'll patch the calls right to you. What else do we give you? We give you the conference rooms. We give you the kitchen. We give you the mailboxes, the printer, the copier, the scanner, UPS service, you name it. All of the utilities, cleaning service, and best of all, we give you free coffee. Get yourself to Executech Suites. Phone number is 215-942-7701. 215-942-7701. ExecutechSuites.com.
Hey, it's Larry Sinus from InvestorSchooling.com. Hey, listen, one of the things we teach at Investor Schooling is stock options. Did you know that you can make 50, 100, 150% returns every year trading stock options? Yes, I know there's risk, but I'm going to tell you right now that some of the things we teach will help you mitigate that risk. Could you imagine when you look at your return and it shows 100% returns? You will be really happy. Come to a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. You can RSVP at InvestorSchooling.com. Our headquarters are in Langhorne, and you will learn stock options trading. Of course, you will also learn real estate investing. Come to InvestorSchooling.com. We will see you there Thursday night.
Hey,
Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I'm Larry Steinhaus, and I'm here with my business partner, Phil Falcone, and we are discussing real estate and stock options. And Phil was just discussing some of his cool mistakes, or some of his, I guess, mistakes. I want to thank you all on Facebook for wishing me a happy birthday. I really appreciate it. And, of course, you can call in at 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn or Twitter, hey, share it with your friends. Let everybody know that we're here and that you're enjoying the show. And if you're not enjoying the show, let us know that, too, because it's kind of fun. We had somebody comment that they didn't like the show. All right. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. All right. What do we got next, Phil? Oh, wait. Before you do that, there was something that happened on that commercial that I had to tell you. We were listening, and, you know, and I got to tell you, Glenn Page, our producer over at PhD, pointed it out. You know, in the commercial for Executec Suite, you said, you give them the desk. So clearly somebody heard your commercial and thought they were supposed to take that desk out of your Florida house.
I guess it's okay then. So let's talk about the next topic.
All right.
Put your properties in trust.
In trust, absolutely. Yeah, so we teach this all the time in investor schooling. This is one of the most important things that you could talk about. Oh, hold on a second. My brother's on the line. Hey, I'm guessing it's Seth.
You're guessing it's right.
What's going on, Seth?
I'm here. Happy
this
birthday,
this is my brother,
Larry,
everybody.
On investing schooling.
You.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Seth.
Seth, you do know that they can't respond, right?
I know. I'm just saying hello to the world. That's all.
Okay. So what's happening, man?
Saying hello to the world.
Happy birthday, Larry.
Oh, that's his girlfriend, too.
I have my non-girlfriend here.
Your non-girlfriend. That's a different joke.
No.
Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it.
We just called to say happy birthday.
Hey, Seth, while we got you on the line, can you give us an embarrassing story about Larry when he was a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. You got the mic.
Just remember, you got to be clean because we're on the air.
I know. Let's see a good one. I'm trying to think of something good. I don't know. I can't remember any. I know where we found our brother on the train tracks. That I know. Larry, we didn't find on the train tracks, but we found our middle brother on the train tracks. I can't talk very well, so I'm going to just say happy birthday, and you take care.
All right. Thanks, Seth. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for Seth.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's fine. All right. Kill him, Glenn. So he's funny. You know what? He can't talk. He had all his teeth replaced, so he's having trouble talking.
Okay. Well, I thought he just meant he can't talk in general.
No, he can't. That's true too.
He can't think or talk. Okay.
And if anybody else wants to call in, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. All right. So we were talking about trust, and the fact is that we tell everybody to put their property in trust. So a lot of people, so many people come to us and they already understand the fact that they should not put their property in their own name. And they believe that the best place to put it into is an LLC. And in some cases, that is correct. An LLC or any corporation is a good idea to put your properties into. The problem that they make, or the mistake that they make, is they put all the properties into one LLC. So, for example, if they have 5 or 10 or 20 properties and they put it in the same LLC, all of those properties are at risk if one property has a problem. Phil likes to always tell the story about the guy who had the garbage bill. One of his tenants had a garbage bill, didn't pay the garbage bill for because he would put the garbage bill in the garbage, right? And for years, I guess it was. Well, how long was it? Maybe 2 years or so? The guy never paid the garbage bill? Anyway, the Philadelphia will put a lien on that property. And they'll also put a lien, a redundant lien, on all your properties. So basically, if you go to sell property A and there's a lien on property Z, then property A is going to be paying that bill that property Z owns because they realize it's the same owner in the same LLC. So we teach you guys not to do that. We teach you to put it in separate trusts. And we will have each property isolated from another property. And that actually is great for not only little bills like that, but also for liability reasons. And one of the most important things that I teach is also how to save taxes. And honestly, and you know, for you conservatives out there, there are a lot of there are a lot of programs that are available to us that the Democrats put in, and I want to be able to take advantage of them, such as Medicaid. So I may own millions and millions of dollars of property that I really don't own because they're all in trust, and if I have to go into a nursing home for any reason, I don't want to have to sell my properties to pay for that nursing home. I would be like to be able to take some advantage of some of the programs out there that would pay for that nursing home. So the property's not being in my name because I want those properties to go to my kids or my wife. I don't want them going to the government, and you guys should agree with that because you understand that. Why would you want to have your property be taken over by the government? Also, trusts will also have other protections. They can protect you from bankruptcy. They can protect you from tax liens. They can protect you from other things. But once again, you know, as we always say, we're not accountants and we're not attorneys. And when we give advice like this, we want to make sure that you check with your accountants and attorneys before you do any of the advice that we give now or even during our class. I had to put that in there because I don't want to be accused of practicing law. Oh, because, you know, I could be a lawyer or instead of a realtor.
Yes.
I guess that wasn't that good, was it? All right. If anybody wants to call in or has a question on trust, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. Of course, you could call in, and you can also leave comments on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, and we'll see them. And, of course, you can also please share it.
Yeah, trusts are pretty amazing. What a great instrument.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
Because of... you know, I think one of the greatest things about it is the ability to isolate each and every property in its own entity. So no matter what happens, say that something catastrophic happens, such as a fire, and people die in the house, that could be a major, major problem for any landlord. If own all their properties in the same entity, well, then your entire portfolio would be at risk. Your life's work would be at risk. Because if, you know, I don't know what the going rate for a life is today. It's probably somewhere in the range of about $4 or $5 million.
Sure, easily.
So if four or five people, if a family died in a fire, for example, that could be a $25 million problem that you have.
Yeah, now please understand, you know, you're going to the extremes, and of course you can have insurance on the properties. And there's also something called you know, whether it's really liability or not. You know, if the fire was caused by something you did, like in other words, I've heard stories where people make really, really bad mistakes. Like they'll put locks on the fire escapes in apartment buildings. Not only are you paying that money out of your pocket, but you're going to jail for the rest of your life because you caused the death of that person. But if there was nothing, you know, nothing tortious, nothing you did wrong, you're going to be, you know, you could be sued. It's not necessarily your fault, and it may even be their fault. They may have left something on the stove, and it became a, you know, and the oil burned the house down. You know, they were cooking eggs or something.
So I have a quad in Florida that actually, when I was down there vacationing with my family, we almost burned the house down by accident. So what happened was, it was like a grease fire in the barbecue pit. Right, we had a grill. And the grease fire started shooting flames 4 or 5 feet high. Wow. And the barbecue pit was located underneath a section of the roof of the building, right? And the damn thing almost caught on fire.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. After that, we got rid of all of our grills, and we put in park-style grills where we cemented them into the ground so nobody could move them near the house.
I have a funny feeling we're going to enjoy this next call. Hey, John, tell us how we can help you.
Yeah, so should I sign up for that investor schooling? So I'm a board retiree out here with not much liquidity. I got maybe $60,000 saved, but I got about $250,000 in equity in my house. Would it pay just to take a home equity loan out and go to you guys and make more money? Never made my whole life.
So there's, it's a loaded question. So the first thing I would do is do not do anything until you speak to us. And look, I just please understand that, you know, we don't sell investments. We teach investing. So we, you know, we may make some recommendations for you, and then we would go tell you where to invest or what some ideas where to invest. But the first thing to do is show up for a free class. And by the way, everybody out there listening, when we show up for a free class, it's a free class. It's not, we're not sitting there, we're not a sales pitch. In fact, leave your credit card home. We don't even want your money. Show up on Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, go to investorschooling.com, show up this Thursday night, and you will actually learn whatever it is we're teaching that night. And we're teaching our class. We have students who are sitting in the class that have paid for our school already, and you will be sitting in the class with them. You can ask questions, you're an active participant, you can even ask the students what they think of the school. And then, you know, then you would come in, and then at that point, if you enjoyed that class, we actually invite you back for another event, which is a mastermind meeting, which is the following Monday. And a mastermind meeting is different than a class. Mastermind meeting, we sit around and we all talk about the deals we have. We talk about the money we're making. We talk about how we want to make more money and how we can help each other do that. And then if at that point you like what you saw, we would talk to you about becoming a student. But that would be the first thing I'd have you do. So just show up for class. Do you want to show up for class, John?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I remember not too long ago, you were talking about some guy, Pedro, who only invested like 50 grand or something. He's doing quite well. Sound like a Hispanic guy. I forget his name. I think it was Pedro or him. Yeah.
So Pedro is our producer. He could, you could ask him right now. He's our producer. He actually started working for the school. He started out as a student, and now he's working for the school because he has some great skills that we can use, and it turns out he's our producer. So, Pedro, why don't you ask tell John what you did?
You're absolutely right. My name is Pedro. And okay. I didn't invest anything.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I walked away from a closing with 10 grand in my pocket. So I technically got paid 10 grand to buy someone's house.
What a beautiful thing.
How would you like to do that, John?
That sounds impressive to me.
Yeah, not only that, what kind of rent are you going to make on that, Pedro?
In the mid-2000s, 25.
Yeah, and then what's your projected cash flow after you pay your bills?
About $1,000.
Okay, so he's going to make $1,000 a month. He walked away with $10,000, and he's going to make $1,000 a month cash flow on that property, and it costs him nothing out of his pocket to do that. And, yes, we teach this all the time.
And he no longer has the vehicle.
I'm going to show up.
The actual vehicle.
You going to show up, John?
Yeah, I will. Yes, I will.
All right, cool. Go to investorschooling.com.
I look forward to meeting you guys. Yeah, I'll go online and sign up, right?
Yeah, make sure you tell us who you are so we can shake your hand when you come in.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you guys. God bless you. I listen to your show all the time, by the way.
Thank you, man. Yeah. We appreciate
it. First time I called.
All right, thanks, man. And go to investorschooling.com and sign up for that right now. All right, where were we, Phil? What's next?
So let's talk about what's the best way to use a HELOC. You just did a presentation on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a bunch of different things you can do with a HELOC. And a lot of people, you know, some people don't want to do much. They don't want to buy other investment properties. They don't want to do anything they want. But we actually did a presentation, and I showed how you can actually, if you have equity in your house, like John has equity in his house, and I don't know if he has a first mortgage or not, but if he has a first mortgage, and for example, let's say he has a $300,000 house and he owes $150,000 on it, he could then get a HELOC for, let's say, $60,000 or $70,000. Believe it or not, you would take that HELOC and immediately pay down the first mortgage. So your first mortgage, if you had, whatever, it was $150,000, now it'd be $90,000, and you would then make payments on the, you then take all your, it's hard to explain without an illustration, but you would take all your income and put it into the HELOC and pay the HELOC out and pay the HELOC payment with your income, and then take that HELOC and write checks like you would to your utility company, your rent, whatever, I'm sorry, your mortgage company, etc. And if you do that, we did some calculations. It took me hours and hours and hours to do these calculations using Excel spreadsheets, and I showed that you could actually have your mortgage paid off. A typical 30-year mortgage would be paid off in 12.25 years, and you would pay one-third the interest that you would pay if you would just to keep the mortgage running out, and it cost you nothing to do this. It cost you no more money out of your pocket to do this, which was amazing to me.
Yeah, it's a tough topic to explain. Why don't you explain what a HELOC is?
So a HELOC is a home equity line of credit. That's a good point. It's a home equity line of credit, and it's almost like a credit card on your that uses your house as collateral. So, for example, if you have a $50,000 HELOC, you have a line of credit of $50,000, and if you wanted to use $10,000 of it, and you know, you can either do what we just talked about, or maybe you want to buy a car. By the way, it's a bad idea to buy a car with your HELOC, but that's another issue. But let's talk about that. We buy a car with a HELOC, and it's a $20,000 car, for example. Now you pay the $20,000 back. You still have access to that $20,000 again, and you can write another check for $20,000 if you want to. So the nice thing I like about HELOCs is they're what I call a renewable resource, which allows you to borrow money over and over and over again from the same source. And typically, you could borrow that for up to 20 years, and then after that, they stop what's called the draw period, and they make you pay it back over the next 10 years. But HELOCs are great. They're great tools. I recommend anyone who has any equity in their house whatsoever to immediately apply for a HELOC while you can still get it. Because when this economy shifts, you're not going to be able to get HELOCs on your properties at all. And the nice thing about these HELOCs is not only will you have them, even if you don't use them, they'll be available for you when the economy shifts, because it's already done, it's already put in place. And the nice thing too is if you find a property when the economy shifts, a property that maybe sold for $100,000 now might sell for $60,000 when the economy shifts, and you could pick up that property, and then when the economy rocks again, that property will be worth $150,000, $200,000 easily, and you'll be really happy that you bought it. I have a bunch of HELOCs on my properties. I just, every time I pay the mortgages off, I get a HELOC. I have almost a dozen. I don't know. But it's great. HELOCs are great.
So let's talk about the next topic. Hidden cost in real estate acquisition.
Hidden costs?
Yeah, we're talking about things like what you would see on a HUD statement.
Oh, yeah. So I don't even pay attention to them anymore, but I know what you mean because you and I buy so many properties.
Well, you really worked as a professional realtor for many
right.
years,
sure.
right?
Yeah, and I'm also a broker.
So
yeah.
If you were representing a client, would there be fees on there? You know, yeah. I'm saying hidden costs, but what I'm really looking for is costs that you can get removed.
There aren't many costs you can get removed, and I don't even believe in arguing what those costs are, but I'll give you some of the ones that you may be talking about. You know, every once in a while you'll find a $25 or a $35 fee that's on your HUD one or your CD, as they call it now, the closing disclosure. That might be like someone who's, the notary's there, and they're notarizing five different things, and they charge you $35 times five. You may disagree with that. Say, listen, you're here. You know, what's the difference? You use your stamp five times. You know, why would I have to pay $35 for each time you notarize it? That's one. You know, sometimes, and I got to admit, you know, we own a brokerage, but sometimes people try to fight with our brokerage fee. So there's not only commission, but there's also a brokerage fee. Maybe it's an extra $300. Sometimes they fight on that. My personal belief, and, you know, I know you're different on this one. My personal belief is I don't care what the fees are. I really don't. Because I'm buying a house to make money in the long run. So if there's an extra $5,000 or $6,000 or $1,000 worth of fees, matter of fact, I tell you a story. I had one client who bought a house. I recommended this house as an investment property 3 years ago, and he got the HUD one at the time, and it was a $500 fee on there, and he was yelling at me, "Get this $500 fee off!" And I said, "Listen, I said I can't get that $500 fee off. I just can't. But if you want to, I'd let you walk away from this deal and I'll buy it instead." And finally, he agreed to close on it. Well, the other day, and about 3 weeks ago, he asked me to sell that property about three years later. And he made $175,000 when he sold that property.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what he was trying to do when he made the $175,000? Get another $500 fee off. I'm like, stop it. Just stop it. So be careful. Don't step over dollars to pick up dimes. I mean, the guy made so much money on this. It was a great deal. And he thanked me on both sides. He thanked me again for the first time, for helping him the first time and making him buy it. And he thanked me for this time, too. All right, what else we got, Phil?
Nobody went broke taking a profit.
Nobody went broke taking a profit. This is like my favorite. So this is I thought you were going to get into the new virus, but that's a whole other issue. So nobody ever went broke taking a profit. This is one of the things that makes it tough for a lot of people. They don't understand that. Oh, you know, I was up 20%. Now I'm only up 15%. I'm going to wait. No, don't do that. It may be time to take that profit now. Just take your profit. Same thing with houses. If you have a house and it's got enough money in it, take the profit. But I actually don't recommend you sell the house. I recommend, again, HELOC is the way to go to get the money out of it. And if you're making profit after profit after profit, you're obviously going to make money. If you keep losing money, if you keep waiting for the stock to go down or the house to go down, you're absolutely going to lose money. So definitely take your profit. All right.
You want to talk about the virus, the new virus?
The new virus and what happened on the stock market on Friday. So before I do that, though, what did I say about a month ago, and when did I say it was going to happen?
You said that there was going to be a big crash coming.
Right. I said 800 to 1,000 points, didn't I?
Something like that, yeah.
And I said it was going to happen sometime after November 15th. And it's exactly what happened. And how do I know that, and how did I predict that? Because it has nothing to do with the virus. It's just the way the market moves. Now, the virus was the trigger. I just didn't know what the trigger was going to be. There's always a trigger. And on Monday, it's going to open up. It's going to open up probably a little rough, and then it's going to come back. Now, the interesting part on Friday, I'm telling you, all of the stocks to buy were the travel stocks. Those were the ones to buy. Everything that got beat up, CCL, RCL, AAL, BA, they all got beat up. Those were the stocks to buy on Friday. And I went all in on a couple of my accounts on those stocks because I know that's going to happen. But I also went in, you know, as stock options, I went in with expiration dates out into, you know, April and May because I knew I might, you know, it might be a little rocky road between now and then as we try to find out how badly this new, I don't know, whatever
you know what
call
I'm
it.
Calling it? I'm calling it the new COVID scariant.
Yeah, the scariant, exactly,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the scariant.
Seriously.
Yeah, look, here comes the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, if the virus was as bad as they said it was, you wouldn't be listening to this right now.
I have no concerns about the virus.
Yeah, me too. I have less concerns about the virus now than I had then, and I had very little concerns about it then.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what's going on and how they're controlling the population. But, you know, you guys, it is what it is. You got to make up stand and you got to stop it.
Why don't we go to the stock option Sultan?
Let's do it since we kind of mentioned some of the things already. Stock option Sultan. Stock option Sultan. All right. So as we were saying before, the market was down about 900 points. On Friday, and I said the market would hit, I actually said in that prediction about a month ago, I said that the market would hit about 34,500 would be where it would drop down, and it's about, right? So it actually hit 34,800 for a little while on Friday. It's possible that'll be the bottom, and it's fine. It doesn't even matter if it's the bottom, because if Monday or Tuesday it drops anymore, it's going to bounce back off of that. What's amazing to me is that the VIX went up 10 points. That's amazing to me. So the VIX is what they call the fear indicator. And the VIX was, was going back to normal levels of, you know, 12, 13, 14. And now it's back to 30, which really surprised me. And I also start to think that, you know, Wall Street gets used to things. So now we have this variant and they know what's going on. They know that, you know, we've already seen this. We've seen the real scare, which was a year and a half ago, the real scare was when we didn't know what it was. We didn't know. We thought the whole world was going to die and the stock market cut in half. And now it's not only back, but it's back with a vengeance. So the money managers are just laughing and they're waiting for the clues that it's going to come back. And I'm telling you right now, it's coming back. I'm telling you right now, if you don't even want to buy stock options, buy stock in American Airlines, buy stock in Carnival Cruise Lines, buy stock in Royal Caribbean, and you're going to be fine. You are going to do really, really well. Just take those stocks, put them in a drawer somewhere, and you'll be fine. That's what's going to happen with the stock market.
Yeah, I bought mine out until June, I think.
Yeah, your stock options, right? Yeah, I mean, you could buy, we would buy, I think I was buying an 18 strike on CCL, an 18 strike price for $2. The stock just has to, I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing. So he's just letting us know we got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Okay.
All right. What else we got? Let's see. I want to talk about Apple is a good play. Meta is a good play. You guys know that Meta is Facebook or Facebook is Meta now. So it's all good. Oh, look. You know, I got to tell you, my favorite troll is on. So she trolls. This, I don't even know if it's a woman, but Kittens Johnson trolls my show. During the week. And Kittens, hey, don't forget, we're moving. I'm at my show. My other show is moving WWDB at 5:60 a.m. I'll be there every day at 7:30. So I'm hoping you're going to join us there. And also, I got a new book coming out called Money Hacks. So you guys want to look for that. And I'm looking forward to that. But why don't you take us out, Phil? I think we got something. I don't even know. Do we have enough time? We got plenty of time to take us out.
I want to say thanks to our producer for helping us out today. What's his name?
Which one? Glenn Page?
Yeah.
Glenn Page and Pedro. You know who Pedro is, right?
Yeah, I know Pedro.
Glenn, what's the matter? You didn't like the fact that he forgot your name?
Actually, we get so many different producers, I don't always know who the heck who the heck is our producer. All right. Well, thanks for helping us out, Glenn. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor on this show, just email us at info@investorschooling.com. info@investorschooling.com. Don't forget to visit investorschooling.com for your free class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock on real estate investing and stock option trading. That's investorschooling.com. If you behave yourself, we might even invite you back to another complimentary class. So check us out. We're at 108 Corporate Drive in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. That's in 19047. 108 Corporate Drive in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. You can get the address off the website as well, investorschooling.com. Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Consider yourself invited.
Cool.
You got anything else to say, Larry?
No, go to investorschooling.com. Sign up right now. RSVP right now. Pull over right now. RSVP, investorschooling.com.